Welcome to a new deep dive on AI Unraveled, the podcast created and produced by Etienne Newman, who's a senior engineer and a passionate soccer dad up in Canada.
That's right.
And if you're finding these explorations into the world of artificial intelligence valuable, please take a moment to like and subscribe on Apple. It really does help us reach more curious minds.
It absolutely does.
So today we're diving into AI-powered personalization. You know, how it's tailoring all those digital experiences we have every day.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. We've gathered a pretty diverse range of material for you today. We've got academic papers, industry articles, some really concrete use case examples showing how AI is doing this tailoring, you know, from the stuff you see online to how you learn, even how you might receive healthcare.
Right. So the goal, our sort of mission for this deep dive, is to really understand the core mechanisms behind it, how AI personalization works.
Exactly. And look at its impact, you know, across different sectors, but also crucially acknowledge the ethical dimensions. That's really important.
Definitely. Okay. But before we dive in, just a quick mention, if you're looking to deepen your AI knowledge, maybe even get certified, you should definitely check out Etienne's study guides.
Oh, yeah. They're comprehensive.
Totally. There's the Azure AI Engineer Associate Study Guide, the Google Cloud Generative AI Leader Certification, and also the AWS Certified AI Practitioner Exam Study Guide.
A good range there.
Yep. You can find them all at djamgatetech.com. We'll put the full links in the show notes for you.
Perfect.
Okay, so AI-powered personalization. Let's start at the beginning. What exactly are we talking about here?
Well, fundamentally, it's about using machine learning, right? Taking these huge amounts of user data.
Our data, like clicks and stuff.
Yeah, browsing history, purchases, searches, all that. Analyzing it to build models of our behavior.
Okay, models of behavior. And the point is...
The point is to create digital experiences that feel, well, unique, adaptive, like they were made just for you.
And this isn't just like some future concept.
Oh, no, not at all. It's happening right now. I mean, statistics show something like 71% of consumers actually expect tailored experiences.
Wow, bet I.
Yeah. And they get frustrated. Apparently, about 67% get frustrated when things aren't personalized. And businesses have noticed over 90% of companies are using AI-driven personalization now for growth.
Okay, so it's mainstream.
Definitely. And what's really interesting is how far it's come. It used to be, you know, just basic demographics, maybe age or location. Mm. But now it's all about behavioral analytics, processing data in real time.
Real time.
Yeah, to really predict what an individual wants or needs. Think about Netflix suggestions or Spotify's Discover Weekly.
Yeah, those can be scarily accurate sometimes.
Exactly. Or e-commerce sites showing you things you were just thinking about. That's not luck. It's AI working behind the scenes.
Okay.
And it's moving into really important areas, too, like education platforms that adapt to how you learn specifically. Mm. Or healthcare apps offering more customized advice.
Right. So it sounds like this continuous loop. We interact, the AI learns, then it changes the experience for us next time.
That's a great way to put it. A continuous learning cycle. And it all starts, as you might guess, with data.
Okay. Where does it get this data?
It begins with data collection and pre-processing. So the system gathers data from all sorts of places, browsing, purchases, searches, like we said, but also maybe demographics, location data, app usage.
Lots of sources.
A ton. Then this raw data has to be cleaned up, organized, often anonymized, which is important, to make it usable for the algorithms.
And cleaning it up is key.
Absolutely crucial. You need rich, high-quality data for this to work well. Garbage in, garbage out, as they say.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, so all my clicking and searching is basically feeding this system to personalize things for me later. What happens next once it has the clean data?
Then comes pattern recognition and user segmentation. This is where the machine learning algorithms really get to work. They analyze that data looking for patterns.
Patterns and behavior.
Exactly. Patterns and behavior, preferences. And they group users who seem similar into segments, or sometimes called personas.
Yo, give me an example.
Sure. Think of an online sports store. The AI might identify a group of users who consistently buy, say, running shoes and high-performance athletic gear. That's a segment. It uses techniques like clustering to find these groups.
Got it. So it groups similar people. Does it also look at, like, the items themselves?
Yes, definitely. It also figures out item-item similarities. There are two main ways here. Collaborative filtering, which basically says users who liked what you liked also liked this item. It leverages the crowd's behavior.
Ah, the people who bought this also bought.
Precisely. And the other is content-based filtering. That recommends items that have similar attributes or features to things you've liked before. Like if you watched a sci-fi movie with certain actors, it might recommend another sci-fi movie with those same actors.
Okay, so it's looking at users and items, but you know, my interests change, or I might be looking for something totally different right now. How does it keep up?
Great question. That brings us to real-time decisioning and adaptation. This is key. Once the AI has these models, the user segments, the item similarities, it doesn't just sit there. It dynamically adapts the content you see in the moment.
In the moment. How?
When you hit a website, open an app, whatever, the system uses the very latest data, your current actions, plus its predictions, to decide what to show you right then. Recommendation engines are a big part of this.
Okay.
And many modern systems use techniques like reinforcement learning or RL.
Reinforcement learning, like teaching a dog with treats.
Sort of. It allows the AI to learn through trial and error. It balances exploitation, showing you things it's confident you'll like based on past data, with exploration trying out slightly different or new recommendations to see how you react.
Ah, so it's testing things out on me.
In a way, yeah. To optimize for your long-term satisfaction, a news app, for example, might use RL. It mostly shows you topics you like, but occasionally it might slip in an article from a different category.
To see if
Yeah.
I bite.
Exactly. To learn if your interests might be broader, it also considers real-time context like, are you on your phone or laptop? Is it morning or evening? Where are you located right now?
Wow, okay. That's a lot of factors.
It is. And because of fast technologies like neural networks and streaming data pipelines, this adaptation can happen almost instantly. That's when we talk about hyper-personalization. The system reacts immediately to what you're doing.
So it's not just using my history, it's using what I'm doing right now and adjusting on the fly.
Precisely. And that feeds right back into the system, which leads to the next crucial part: feedback loops and continuous learning.
Right, it needs to know if its guesses were right.
Exactly. The system improves because it learns from your responses. Every click, every purchase, every song skip, every video watched, that's all feedback.
Positive or negative signals.
Yep. Those signals tell the AI whether its recommendations are hitting the mark. They get fed back into the model to refine future predictions. If you keep ignoring suggestions for, say, romantic comedies, the algorithm learns to show you fewer of those.
And sometimes platforms ask directly, right? Like thumbs up or down.
That too. Explicit feedback like ratings is also valuable data. And sophisticated systems use techniques like online learning, meaning the model updates itself continuously, almost in real time, as new data comes in. It doesn't wait for a big batch update.
So it's constantly evolving, just like our interests.
That's the goal. To keep up with your changing tastes and preferences, it's like the system is perpetually getting to know you better.
Okay, this sounds like a whole suite of different AI technologies working together then.
It really is. You've got the filtering methods, collaborative, content-based, often mixed together in hybrid models for better results.
Right.
Then there's natural language processing, NLP. That helps understand text data, think product reviews, chatbot interactions.
Okay, for understanding language.
Yeah. And user segmentation uses clustering and classification, like we mentioned, to target subgroups. Reinforcement learning, RL, is great for that trial and error optimization in things like news feeds or dynamic ads. And underpinning it all is real-time analytics and predictive modeling to make those instant adjustments possible.
So basically, the AI acts like a super attentive digital concierge, watching what I do, predicting what I need, and adapting the service.
That's a fantastic analogy, a personal digital concierge. Exactly.
Okay, let's make this more concrete. Where are we seeing this have the biggest impact? You mentioned e-commerce earlier. That feels like a really obvious one.
Absolutely. E-commerce is probably where most people encounter AI personalization most visibly every day. Online stores are heavily invested in this.
Those recommendation engines, right?
Yep, product recommendation engines are huge, using collaborative filtering, content-based filtering, or both to suggest items you might actually want to buy. Based on your past behavior, what others like you bought.
Amazon's frequently bought together, or you might also like.
Classic examples, and they work. Studies show these recommendations significantly boost customer engagement, satisfaction, and loyalty. They drive a lot of sales, higher conversion rates, people coming back more often.
Okay, what about pricing? Sometimes prices seem to change, like hourly online. Is AI involved there too?
Often, yes, that's dynamic pricing. AI algorithms adjust prices in real time based on a whole bunch of factors:
Like what?
demand, how much inventory is left, what competitors are charging, even potentially your individual behavior or profile.
My behavior affects the price.
Potentially, yeah. If the AI thinks you're more likely to buy at a slightly lower price, or if an item is trending and demand is high, it can adjust. Amazon is famous for this. Their prices can fluctuate a lot.
Right. Airlines and hotels have done this for ages, haven't they?
They were the pioneers, yeah. Now, e-commerce is using similar AI models. The goal is usually maximizing revenue, moving inventory efficiently. And these models learn too. They might even offer you a personalized promotion or discount.
Interesting. So it's trying to find the sweet spot price for me or for the market right now.
Pretty much. And studies suggest it can increase sales and sometimes even satisfaction if people feel they got a relevant deal.
Okay, and what about chatbots? Those little pop-ups offering help, are they personalized too?
Increasingly, yes. AI-powered customer service is another big piece. Chatbots use NLP to understand what you're asking,
Right.
but the smarter ones also access your user profile, so they have context. They might know what you bought recently.
Ah, so I might say, "Hi, name. I see you bought a camera last week. Need help finding accessories."
Exactly like that. Best Buy uses bots like this. It makes the interaction feel more relevant, more human almost, more engaging than just a generic FAQ bot. And it frees up human agents for the trickier problems.
Can we walk through a specific example like Amazon? How does it all fit together there?
Sure, Amazon's a great case study. When you land on their site, those sections recommended for you, inspired by your wish list, etc., that's driven by collaborative filtering, analyzing your history against millions of others.
Okay.
So if you were browsing hiking boots yesterday, today you'll probably see recommendations for backpacks, maybe camping gear, water bottles, related items.
Makes sense.
They also use AI behind the scenes for logistics, predicting where demand will be high for certain items so they can stock warehouses nearby for faster shipping. And the dynamic pricing kicks in. Maybe that popular hiking boots price inches up slightly because it's trending. Or perhaps you, as a Prime member who looked at a specific tent multiple times but didn't buy, get offered a small personalized discount nudge.
Oh, okay. These micro personalizations.
Exactly. And collectively, they create this experience that feels really catered to you. It draws you in, keeps you browsing, and ultimately drives sales. It's a huge part of their success.
It definitely feels intuitive when it works well.
Yeah.
Okay, let's switch gears. You mentioned education earlier. How is AI personalizing learning? That sounds potentially huge.
It really is. Education is a fascinating area for this. Think about a traditional classroom. You've got maybe 30 kids, all learning at different speeds with different backgrounds, different interests.
Yeah, tough for one teacher to manage all that
Yeah,
perfectly.
exactly. AI offers a way to create adaptive learning platforms. These act essentially like a personal tutor for each student.
Personal tutor, how?
The AI adjusts the lessons in real time based on how the student is doing. If you're getting everything right, it might speed things up, introduce more complex topics. If you're struggling with a concept, it'll slow down, offer more practice, maybe explain it differently.
So it adapts the pace and the content.
Precisely. It ensures each student is working at their optimal level, not bored, not overwhelmed.
How does it figure out the student's level and how to adapt?
Usually, it starts with some kind of diagnostic test or initial exercises to see where the student is. Then, as they work through material, the AI constantly monitors their performance answers, time taken, hints requested.
Okay.
Based on that, it modifies the difficulty. Maybe simpler problems if they're stuck, harder ones if they're cruising. Some platforms even use that reinforcement learning we talked about.
RL in education, how?
It might try different teaching strategies, like, should it offer a hint or a full explanation? Should it show a video or provide text? It learns what works best for that specific student to improve their understanding.
So it personalizes not just what you learn, but how it's presented.
Exactly. Maybe you're a visual learner, so it shows more diagrams. Or maybe you respond better to text. The AI can learn that and adapt its approach.
Can you give us a concrete example?
Duolingo, the language app, is a prime
Oh,
example.
yeah, lots of people use that.
Right. They have an AI system, sometimes called Bird Brain internally, that tracks your progress meticulously. It adjusts exercises to keep you in that optimal difficulty zone.
So if I keep messing up French verb conjugations,
It'll notice, and it will give you more practice specifically on those weak areas in future lessons. It also uses spaced repetition, bringing back vocabulary you learned a while ago, just before you're likely to forget it, tailored to your memory patterns. It even personalizes motivational messages. The AI learns when you're most likely to practice and what kind of notification actually gets you to open the app.
That's clever. It
Yeah.
really feels like the app gets you.
That's the goal. It makes learning feel less like a chore and more effective because it's constantly attuned to your needs. You're not stuck on stuff that's too easy or frustrated by stuff that's way too hard.
So what's the overall impact? Is this really improving education?
The results are very promising. Studies are showing significant boosts in academic performance and student engagement when adaptive learning is used well.
Really? Like better test scores?
Yeah, better test scores, higher completion rates in courses, especially in higher education settings. Fewer students falling behind. It's trying to tackle what educational psychologist Benjamin Bloom called the two sigma problem.
Which is?
The finding that students tutored one-on-one perform about two standard deviations better than students in traditional classrooms. AI personalization is kind of an attempt to approximate that one-on-one tutoring effect at scale.
And it's working to some extent.
Early results are encouraging, yes. Improved scores, higher engagement. It's important to stress, though, it's seen as a smart assistant for teachers, not a replacement. It helps them manage diverse needs better.
Fascinating. Okay, one more big area, healthcare. You said AI is personalizing care. How does that work?
Healthcare is another domain where this is potentially transformative. We're moving away from just broad guidelines applied to everyone.
Right, like standard treatment protocols.
Exactly. Towards care that's tailored to the individual patient. You hear terms like precision medicine, personalized medicine, or patient personalization.
Okay, so how does AI enable that?
AI models can analyze absolutely massive data sets of patient information. We're talking electronic health records, EHRs, lab results, genomic data, information from wearables like smartwatches, even answers to questionnaires.
So way more data than a single doctor could ever process.
Exactly. The AI can sift through all that data to identify which treatments or interventions are likely to be most effective for that specific person.
Can you give an example?
Sure. In cancer care, AI might analyze the specific genetic makeup of a patient's tumor and compare it against outcomes from thousands of similar cases to suggest the most promising personalized treatment protocol.
Wow.
Or in primary care, an AI could analyze a patient's history and lifestyle factors to flag them as high risk for, say, diabetes complications, and then recommend a customized prevention or management plan. It finds patterns humans might miss.
So it's like a superpowered diagnostic and treatment planning tool.
In many ways, yes, it helps clinicians make more informed, individualized recommendations. As one healthcare CTO put it, it's about reshaping healthcare through personalized treatment and enhanced patient engagement. Think suggesting specific medications based on your genetics or adjusting dosing schedules based on your lifestyle data from a wearable.
That's incredible. What about patient engagement? You mentioned apps earlier.
Right. AI personalization is also being used to improve how patients engage with their own health. Personalized health apps can act like coaches.
A health coach on my phone.
Kind of. Sending tailored reminders for medication, exercise, appointments, but crucially, learning how and when you respond best. If you ignore emails, maybe it switches to text messages. It finds the right channel and tone for you.
And chatbots again.
Yep. Personalized chatbots and virtual health assistants are becoming more common. Using NLP, they can offer 24/7 support, help triage symptoms, provide advice that's customized based on your medical history.
So not just generic advice.
No. Imagine a mental health chatbot that actually adapts its conversation style based on your mood that day or your progress over time. It offers much more relevant support.
Okay, let's take a specific use case here. Chronic disease management.
Perfect example. Think diabetes or heart disease. AI can analyze all the data for an individual patient history, real-time glucose readings, activity levels, diet logs,
Right.
and segment patients by risk and specific needs. Then it delivers tailored interventions. For a high-risk diabetic patient, maybe it's a personalized diet plan via an app, frequent check-ins, maybe an AI nutrition coach giving feedback on meals.
And for someone else.
Maybe for a heart patient who struggles to take their meds, the AI focuses on simplifying their schedule and sending personalized motivational reminders when they're most likely to be receptive.
So it targets the intervention to the specific need.
Exactly. Informatica, a company in this space, talks about guiding patients to the right care at the right time, making them active participants. This leads to better adherence, better recoveries.
And does it help the doctors too?
It can. AI can summarize complex patient charts in real time, highlighting the most critical information for that patient right before an appointment, so the doctor can focus more on the personal interaction, less on digging through data.
So the overall impact in healthcare.
It's leading to improved clinical outcomes.
Yeah.
Studies are showing higher patient satisfaction, better adherence to treatment plans, and measurable health improvements like better blood pressure control with personalized coaching or reduced hospital readmissions. It's really promising.
Okay, we've seen personalization in e-commerce, education, healthcare. Let's pull back a bit. What are the big overarching benefits when this is done well?
Well, there are several key benefits. First, definitely greater user engagement.
Makes sense. People pay more attention if it's relevant.
Exactly. Personalized news feeds keep you reading longer. Relevant product recommendations make you browse more, come back more often. Adaptive learning keeps students motivated. It tunes the experience to that individual sweet spot.
Right. What else?
Higher user satisfaction and loyalty. We appreciate services that seem to get us right.
Yeah, it feels good when Netflix nails a recommendation or a store shows you something you actually like.
Precisely. It makes the experience more convenient, more enjoyable. Surveys consistently show this boosts satisfaction and loyalty. People feel a stronger connection to brands that personalize well, and they're less likely to leave or churn.
Is there data on that?
Yeah, Deloitte found people are 64% more likely to engage with personalized brands. And the flip side is true, too. People disengage if it's not personalized, or especially if their data is misused.
Okay, engagement, satisfaction. What about actual results? Performance outcomes.
Huge impact there, too. In e-commerce, higher conversion rates are the big one. Relevant recommendations mean bigger carts, more frequent checkouts. Significant revenue for many companies comes directly from AI recommendations.
And in education and healthcare?
Improved academic performance in education, like we discussed, better scores, higher completion rates thanks to tailored instruction. And in healthcare, potentially life-saving improvements through adjusted treatments or better health behaviors prompted by personalized engagement, real, tangible outcomes.
Are there benefits for the businesses themselves beyond just happier customers? Operational benefits.
Oh, absolutely. Automation is a big one. AI can handle millions of individual personalization decisions way faster and cheaper than humans ever could. That enables personalization at the scale of Amazon, for example.
Right. Impossible manually.
Impossible. Studies also suggest it can significantly reduce customer acquisition costs by up to 50% in some cases because the targeting is so much more efficient.
Better targeting, lower costs.
Exactly. And finally, the personalization systems themselves generate incredibly valuable data insights. Businesses learn more about their valuable customer segments, what products are trending, what messaging works, which informs better data-driven decisions overall.
So it really sounds like a potential win-win when done right. Satisfying experiences for users and better engagement outcomes and ROI for the providers.
That's the promise, yes. A win-win.
Okay, but it can't all be perfect. There must be downsides, challenges, ethical concerns. This relies on a lot of our data.
Absolutely. And that's where we need to be really careful. There are significant challenges and ethical considerations. Data privacy and security is probably the biggest one.
Yeah, how much data are they collecting? And is it safe?
Right. Personalization relies on collecting potentially sensitive user data. That makes many people uncomfortable. There's a fine line between helpful personalization and feeling like your privacy is being
Do
invaded.
people worry about this?
Definitely. One stat suggests 75% of consumers are concerned about how companies use their data, even while they say they want personalization. It's a paradox.
And there are regulations now, right?
Yeah.
GDPR, CCPA.
Yes, regulations like GDPR in Europe and CCPA in California impose strict rules on data collection, consent, and usage. Non-compliance can lead to huge fines and serious reputational damage. So, robust data protection, clear consent processes, and giving users control over their information are absolutely essential.
Okay, privacy is huge. What else?
Algorithmic bias and fairness. This is a major concern. AI systems learn from data, and if that data reflects existing societal
But
biases,
AI learns the bias.
exactly. It can learn and even amplify those biases. Remember Amazon's experimental hiring tool that was biased against women? That's the kind of thing.
How does bias show up in personalization?
It could mean unfairly favoring certain groups over others. Maybe recommendation engines constantly steer certain demographics towards lower-paying job ads, or filter bubbles exclude marginalized voices. It can pigeonhole users based on stereotypes, or offer unequal opportunities, maybe different pricing or loan offers based on inferred group membership.
And this can get worse over time.
Yes, because of feedback loops. If a bias system shows predatory loan ads more often to a certain group and they click because they have fewer options, the system thinks, aha, this works, and shows them even more. It reinforces the inequality.
That's really problematic. How do you even fix that?
It's tough. Detecting and mitigating bias is a complex, ongoing challenge. It requires careful checks and balances, maybe deliberately injecting diversity into recommendations, conducting bias audits. It's an active area of research and development.
Okay, bias is a big one. You mentioned filter bubbles. What's that?
Filter bubbles and overfitting. This happens when personalization becomes too good in a way. The AI gets so good at predicting what you'll click on that it only shows you things extremely similar to what you've liked before.
So you only see stuff you already agree with or like.
Pretty much. Your worldview gets narrower and narrower. You don't get exposed to different perspectives, new ideas, or diverse content.
Where does this happen?
Social media feeds and news sites are classic examples reinforcing your existing beliefs, potentially leading to polarization and isolation. But it happens elsewhere too. E-commerce, you might miss out on discovering whole new product categories. Music or movie streaming, you might get stuck in a rut, never exploring different genres.
So how do you avoid that? You want relevance, but not only relevance.
Exactly. It's about balancing relevance with exploration or serendipity. Systems need to be designed to occasionally introduce novelty, randomness, or diversity, even if it's slightly less likely to get an immediate click.
A bit of intentional inefficiency, almost.
You could put it that way.
Yeah.
To broaden horizons.
Okay, one more challenge.
Transparency and user understanding. Often, these AI personalization systems are like black boxes. We don't know why we're seeing a particular recommendation or price.
Yeah, it can feel kind of creepy or manipulative sometimes.
Right. That lack of transparency can undermine trust. If dynamic pricing feels unfair, or an educational app suddenly shifts focus without explanation, users get confused or suspicious. There's a growing demand for explainability. Why am I seeing this?
Can they even explain it? I thought these models were super complex.
They are, and opening the black box is technically challenging, but it's crucial. We need more transparency about what data is being used and how decisions are being made. One study showed 92% of consumers are more likely to trust brands that explain how they use data for personalization.
So explaining builds trust.
Definitely. And giving users control is key too, letting them adjust settings, reset recommendations, opt out. It helps avoid that creepy feeling. Ultimately, we need algorithms that are not just accurate, but also accountable and interpretable with rationales humans can understand.
Okay, so privacy, bias, filter bubbles, transparency, those are some serious challenges. How do we move towards doing this responsibly? What are the strategies?
That's the crucial question. We need user-centric, responsible AI personalization. Several strategies are emerging as best practices. First is explainability and transparency.
Making it less of a black box.
Exactly. Being clear about why something is being shown. You see this sometimes with, "Why am I seeing this ad?" options on social media.
Right.
It means using labels for personalized content, exploring explainable AI, XAI techniques to provide reasons, and just being really clear and upfront in privacy policies about what data is collected and how it fuels personalization. The goal is building trust by informing users.
Okay, transparency first. What else?
User consent and control. This is fundamental. Personalization should ideally be opt-in, or at the very least, have a very clear and easy opt-out.
So putting the user in the driver's seat.
Absolutely. Giving users meaningful control over their data and the personalization they receive. Let them edit their interest profiles, reset recommendation history, easily adjust privacy settings to choose what they share. Consent shouldn't be a one-time thing. It should be ongoing and easily revocable.
Who's going beyond just legal checkboxes?
Way beyond. It's about truly empowering the user, adopting privacy by design principles. Asking, are we personalizing with the user's permission and genuinely in their interest?
Okay, transparency, control. What about the bias issue?
Fairness auditing and bias mitigation. This needs to become standard practice. Regularly auditing AI systems to check for bias across different user groups.
How do you audit for bias?
You can simulate outputs for different demographics, analyze performance statistics across groups, look for disparities. If bias is found, you investigate the root cause, maybe skewed training data, maybe certain features acting as unfair proxies.
And then fix it.
Then apply mitigation techniques. That could involve rebalancing the data, adding fairness constraints directly into the algorithm during training, or post-processing the outputs to ensure more diversity or fairer representation. Setting explicit diversity goals can help too.
And this isn't a one-off fix.
No, it has to be ongoing. Bias can creep back in. Formal auditing and ethical reviews during development are becoming crucial.
Right. Okay, one last strategy. You mentioned privacy concerns earlier.
Yes, privacy-preserving personalization techniques. These are emerging methods that aim to deliver personalization without needing access to raw, sensitive user data.
How does that work? Sounds tricky.
There are several approaches: using anonymized or aggregated data instead of individual data, using techniques like hashing or creating preference vectors that don't reveal the raw interactions. There's also federated learning.
Federated learning.
Yeah, where the AI model is trained directly on the user's device, like your phone, and only the updated model parameters, not your personal data, are sent back to the central server.
So the data stays local.
Exactly. Another technique is differential privacy, which involves adding carefully calibrated noise to the data or results, making it impossible to identify any single individual while still allowing useful patterns to emerge.
Does this actually work? Does it hurt accuracy?
It's an evolving field, but techniques are improving. McKinsey analysis suggested some advanced anonymization methods can actually improve accuracy in some cases. Plus, standard security measures like encryption and strict access controls are vital. The mantra is, collect only the data you absolutely need and protect it rigorously.
So you can reassure users that personalization doesn't automatically mean prying into their lives.
That's the goal. Build trust through transparency, control, fairness, and privacy protection.
So wrapping this up, it's clear AI-powered personalization has really exciting potential, doesn't it? To make our digital interactions feel more intuitive, helpful, maybe even more human.
Definitely. Across e-commerce, education, healthcare, entertainment, the potential to enhance engagement, satisfaction, and achieve better outcomes is huge.
But, as we've discussed, it comes with significant responsibilities. It must be implemented ethically.
Absolutely. Respecting privacy, ensuring fairness, maintaining transparency, these aren't optional extras, they have to be core components.
So the most successful approaches, long term, will be the ones that find that balance, delivering real value to users and businesses, but doing it ethically.
Exactly. Building trust is key for long-term loyalty. It's about combining those cutting-edge AI techniques with ethical best practices to tailor experiences responsibly.
Okay, maybe a final thought for our listeners to chew on. As you navigate your own digital world, think about that balance. How much convenience are you willing to get from personalization? And what's your comfort level with sharing the data that enables it? What are the trade-offs you're making?
That's a great question for everyone to consider.
And if this deep dive has sparked your interest in AI, maybe inspired you to learn more or even get certified, remember to check out Etienne Newman's study guides, Azure, Google Cloud, AWS. They're all at djamtechtech.com. And the links are in the show notes.
Definitely worth a look.
Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive on AI Unraveled. If you enjoyed this exploration, please do like and subscribe on Apple. It helps others find the show, and you'll stay updated on our future discussions.
Thanks, everyone.